Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
They don't look at football in the same way.
You look in your little black box.
You always hate me going to the computer.
You always search for something that don't matter.
You always hate me going to the computer box.
You seen the film like I seen the film, man.
And it leads to a lot of disagreements.
He's not going
to
answer any of my questions anymore? This is a silent protest?
Every Thursday at 5, it's time for former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber to join the drive.
I love to be able to come on here and tell a factual, real story. And we got Sean Barber joining us in studio, a man who needs no introduction.
No, of course, I do need an introduction. I have to veto this old introduction. They talking about me and you arguing about the black box and we don't get along. We disagree. Like that. Who is that? They don't know me.
Yeah, they don't. I was going to tell a story about how you and I were getting along. So you and Danon invited me out to watch the playoffs with you guys on Sunday.
Yes.
I show up to watch Broncos and Bills. And it was a really good time. A lot of important people, a lot of Chiefs ambassadors. It was food and drinks flowing.
Shout out to our waitress. You don't even know her name, but Miss Abby.
Remember her name.
Shout out to Miss Abby. And also, man, Kendall, the owner of Outlaw Brewery. Outlaw, basically two different locations, man. Loved the establishment. We got to do some more of that postseason celebration style.
So I show up to the thing. I'm sitting there. I'm watching the game with Barbershop. And, you know, we're having a good time. Barber's telling me a story, and I look up, and I see Josh Allen on the sideline just fraternizing with the official. And I look at Barber, I'm like, Barber, you played in the NFL for a decade. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Can you imagine if there was a video of Patrick Mahomes sitting on the sideline, just sipping a little Powerade, little Gatorade, whatever the official drink is of the NFL, and the ref came over there for a chit-chat, it would break the internet. And you didn't have the same... I was crestfallen by this observation.
Yeah, I didn't have the same energy at all because at that point, the game was over. Denver, they had their drive, right? It was, 13-7?
Barbershop, how many football games have you played in your life? Hundreds?
100. Maybe 100 on the dot.
Has any game that you've played in, has an official come left the field of play and came onto your sideline to talk to one of the players? I can't believe that we didn't spend more time talking about this during the week.
It didn't affect the outcome of the game. It wasn't like, I think if it was a closer game and there was some kind of gamesmanship question, I mean, at the end of the day, the better team won and moved on. Obviously, Denver's still having some buyer's remorse or something. I don't know what they're having. They're having some relapse about what could have, should have, what might have happened if we had won. We would have, you know, found a way to Kansas City. I did hear that take over and over again by Sean Payton.
Teams love to hypothetically beat the Chiefs. They never actually beat the Chiefs. It's always, well, if the refs had done this, yeah, or if we had got this opportunity, or they love to do this. No one actually beats the Chiefs. They just beat them in their mind.
I think it's kind of one of those things, human nature. Eventually, you got to start changing reality, right? Like, how many times do we need to see that the Chiefs are the favorite going into the game? You go the wide receiver group, the offensive line, the running backs, the coaching, the defense, the second. I mean, you go down the checklist, right? And you're saying, all right, who checks the box? The tail of the tape, like a boxing match. Well, of the 10 boxes, the Chiefs got 8 of them. and we're trying to figure out, like, how is this team going to hypothetically find a way to beat the Chiefs? And we always come up, well, maybe if Patrick Mahomes has one of his worst games of his career, if Patrick Mahomes somehow maybe closes his eyes when he throws the ball, and, you know, maybe all of his teammates decide to get the hand, the drop C's, and defensively we forget what defensive coverages we're really there's a lot of hypotheticals that can lead towards an outcome that is not in favor of the Chiefs. But more than likely, if the Chiefs prepare for a game, they put in a game plan, they have really good coaching, and they play the game, and there's not a bunch of those, you know, one in a million type snaps, or this, the ball bounces through three people's hands and the other team still catches the ball. I think we've seen that happen against the Chiefs. There's a lot of things that have to happen for you to believe in a ball game where it's going to be 50 snaps on offense, 50 snaps on defense. Of these 100 plays, really, you know, about 10 of them decides whether who wins and who loses.
I think when we sit down at the table and you start to make a who can beat Kansas City, I think the first question you have to ask yourself is, can they score enough? Like, Buffalo can score enough. Yeah. Baltimore can score enough. Yes. Detroit can score enough, for example. I don't think Houston is one of those teams. With the amount of injuries that they have, with their offensive line, with the wide receivers that are missing, no Diggs, no Tank Dell, I just don't think you're beating Kansas City 17-14. And I think that's how they would need to win this game with the amount of injuries that they have. Now, maybe they get a special teams touchdown. Maybe they get a defensive touchdown that obviously changes the math of the game. But I don't know if Houston has enough firepower to be able to stand up to a fully healthy, fully rested Chiefs team on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know how many field goals they're going to make, but I think I heard early on, they had, right, Ron the show was on with, was he with y'all or the midday show?
Who? Both.
He was with both of y'all?
No.
Man, shout
Ron
out to
doing
Ron.
Doing a lot of work.
Ron been, you know why Ron's doing a lot of work? Because his season's about to be over.
Yeah, so that's true.
He's getting on as many shows.
He got a lot of free time coming
hey,
up.
Man, like, listen, this is about to come to an end. So let me go ahead and get on everybody's show I can, because Houston's season's about to be over. But at the end of the day, man, again, you know, from a competitive standpoint, if somebody was to ask me, you know, Do the Texans have a chance? Yes. I've watched too many football games to realize there's never a situation where somebody doesn't have a chance. It's just from a competitive nature when you have two really good teams that have executed so well throughout the season, the injuries on the Texan side, it just matters so much. After we get – I mean, even Collins coming back, yes, he's – yeah, I mean, he's a phenomenal receiver, but I think, like, Robert Woods hasn't practiced this week. So even without the two and the three, the four hasn't even – he might not be healthy. So then it's going to practice squad guys. I don't know if you can go into a game against the Chiefs with one true NFL receiver and then a bunch of practice squad guys. And Joe Mixon is ailing a little bit, right?
Like, he didn't practice today, yeah.
So he's not 100%. I mean, it's just – that's a lot of weight to put on – your second-year quarterback's shoulders, even though in this second year it hasn't been as sharpest. Like, so, you know, you take last year's CJ, and maybe, you know, he was doing some fireworks last year. This year it's been a little regression. It's been some hiccups, and he just doesn't. It's just not a really full stable of skills and assets for those guys to go, especially when the Chiefs are healthy. And they're playing really good football the last, you know, three, four games of the year, barring the Denver game. But the guys are healthy and they're ready to hunt, and they're purpose-driven. They know what they want to do. They want to be a three-peat. They want to be historic. All the woulda, couldas, is this a dynasty or not, all that. When you win three championships in a row, there is no other team to put above the Chiefs if you actually can win three NFL championships in three seasons. That three-year becomes the greatest dynasty, the legacy, it goes right to the top.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Sean Barber. He's going to be in studio for the whole hour. We'll probably do a little Ask Barber in the final segment, but there's certainly a lot to get into before then. I'm still a CJ Stroud believer. Rob's a little bit on the fence about it. I don't really think that this year the infrastructure was there for him to take that big step forward. I don't think that Houston can block. I think Houston has a bottom five offensive line. So you got a young quarterback, a bad offensive line and you lose your number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs, you lose Tank Dell at some point. They had a stretch where they didn't have Nico Collins. It's just been a lot of change around CJ. And the fact that this team still won double-digit games with the first-place schedule, the fact that they still won a playoff game, yeah, I think is a testament to how good he is as a quarterback and also the defense that they're building. I'm still very much a believer on CJ Stroud. Where are you at?
When it comes to quarterbacks, I would hope that no one even submits a judgment until year three. Let a guy get two years of starting, not a year on the bench, not the Aaron Rodgers, you know, a few seasons watching Brett Favre. Let the quarterback actually play football for two complete years. And then going into his third year of playing football, you should have a really good feel of what this guy is capable of doing, his cans, cannots, what system and style he's most comfortable under. Up until then, you just, like, I don't have enough film to make a decision about CJ. I know he has a skill level, but I've seen him, you know, kind of like, you know, kind of crumble under the lights also. I've seen some throws that are just really not high football IQ throws. I've seen him try to fit the ball into windows that at that point in the game, it was no need to do it. So when somebody's making mistakes like that, that to me believes that guy's putting way too much pressure on him. Like it's just, again, it's not enough bodies in the room to really rise to the occasion. So he's putting it on himself. I got to make this play. And they just don't have a team right now that can support that kind of play from that kind of player. And then in retrospect, we look at like Bo Nix and we look at Jalen Daniels, right? Those two guys are having phenomenal rookie seasons. I don't want to make a determination of how good they're going to be until we get to like 2026. Let's get halfway through the third season and where the defensive coordinator's got some film on them. We're watching some tendencies. We can talk about, you know, fourth quarter excellence or, you know, how they perform in the last 2 minutes of the game, the last 2 minutes of the half. The things that really separates the really great quarterbacks from the Joe Burrows of the world. I mean, because, you know, I stand beside that. I'm not a Joe Burrow guy, you know, like, and I probably pronounced his last name wrong. But that Cincinnati quarterback is just, I mean, he's a guy who's been given all the tools, all the assets. I mean, surrounded by all pros. And not that he doesn't win champions, but sometimes he doesn't make the playoffs. And I think it's a shame that a guy can be that good at that position. And somehow you tell me that he gets a pass because he puts up tremendous yards and tremendous touchdowns. Yeah, look at the talent around him. Like it doesn't take much of a arm to throw the ball to Higgins and Chase. They're some of the most consistent, you know, 50-50 ball wide receivers in the league. So I mean, again, I, you know, from an offensive standpoint, there are certain guys that are playing the quarterback position at a very high rate. And then there's some guys that are kind of getting by on the talent around them. So, yeah. No, I'm not a CJ Stroud guy. I'm not a Bo Nix guy. I'm holding out until I get, you know, 2 or 3 years of film on him.
You saw one practice of Patrick Mahomes and put him in Canton, though.
Yeah. He's different.
He was different. No, that makes sense. All right, I do have some Chiefs-specific questions to ask you. Let's start with this.
Did I put him in Canton?
We can go back and find the audio. You saw Patrick Mahomes throw one pass at St. Joe and told me he was going to Canton. You ended up being right, though. I will give you that. You ended up being right about Patrick.
Because you know when you see it.
You saw him do wind sprints. He didn't even pick up the football yet. You saw him do wind sprints. It was like, oh, he's the greatest I've ever seen. You saw those flowing locks and just were enthralled by Mahomes.
I can't even, you know, it's hard for me to take myself back to that moment because I can't unseen the last how many years of seeing Patrick Mahomes. But when he was the backup quarterback and watching him warm up and thinking to myself, like, all right, he's about to be the scout team. I don't know who we had playing defense at the time, but he's about to get people fired. Like if you're on the number one defense and you're going against Patrick Mahomes and the scout team receivers and stuff, even the covered guys were being thrown open. So like it was phenomenal, man. Like I was like thinking to myself, what am I like the cheat code? You're playing Madden and the other guy got the cheat code and you're just like, I'm playing the right defenses, I'm doing everything right, and somehow they're still letting them catch the ball.
The Bears saw that and they still got Mitch Trubisky. Mm. I mean, they had a chance to, get Patrick Mahomes too. They saw the same pro day, had the same information. It was like, you know what? This kid from North Carolina, he's got a shot. I do want to get your opinion on this. Let's say that Andy Reid called you up and says, okay, you know what, man?
I like this. I like where it's going already. I like where it's going already.
You're such a great football mind, Sean Barber.
Appreciate that, coach.
I'm really torn about what I should do at left tackle. I've got two great options.
I'm torn too.
What would you advise Andy Reid to do? Would you start DJ Humphries at left tackle on Saturday? Or would you start Joe Tooney? I would start Joe Tooney. Oh.
I would like to say that with the makeup of the offensive line right now, I would love to believe that Joe Tooney is a better guard than he is tackle. And I believe if DJ Humphries can come in and give us some solid play, some average play, collectively, the offensive line, I think, will work better with Joe going back to his original position. So I would love to start the game out that way, knowing at any point it's such a – I mean, that rope, that chain on that left tackle position is going to be so short. Like, the fuse is so short. Like, it's not – there's not any room for error when it comes to the left tackle position. So I think I would go into the game with Humphries, and then, like, I'm telling you, I got a coach looking at that position every snap. And the second he makes one mistake, I'm going to have to go ahead and go and
But to me, though, that's not going out there with the confidence. Like, if you are in a relationship right now and all it takes is for her to say the wrong thing one time and you're going to crash out and break up with her, then your relationship is over. If we're saying is that you are going into a playoff game and your left tackle has absolutely no room for error and no leash, then that's not your left tackle then, especially when you've seen the other option. You played Houston a month ago. Joe Tooney performed well. You saw him against Pittsburgh in that front four. He played really well. Yeah. Like, we have seen different combinations of the Chiefs' offensive line. There is one offensive line that has performed the best. Joe Tooney at left tackle, Caliendo at left guard, and the rest of the offensive line. I don't know now why, for the most important game of the season, we now would have the idea of, hey, why don't we do something different than what we did in the regular season when we won 15 games? Just doesn't make sense to me.
Because we have not seen Humphries at tackle with Tooney. We haven't seen that combination on game day.
No, and that part's unfortunate, but the time to see that is not the playoffs. He had an opportunity. He was hurt during the regular season.
All right, so
that time was week 15, week 16, and he was over in the tent. What do they say? Your best ability is availability?
Yeah.
Well, you joined the team on Black Friday, and then you were hurt all December. What are we doing here? I'm sorry you weren't healthy enough to play this year. You got to come off the bench and be a breaking case of emergency guy.
Is he healthy on Saturday?
I mean, probably.
Then to me, I'm playing him. Like that's what I would do. You asked me what I would do.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't ask you that.
If he's healthy on Saturday and we warm up and he's ready to go, I'm putting Joe back in his natural position. And then, like I said, it's a very short lead. Like I don't have much. There is no wiggle room. You come out there and you play it at a high level, or we're gonna go back to what we know works. But I think that the opportunity to have, like I said, like a guy who can grow into that position, and it might even be beyond just the first series or the second series of this game. I think knowing that could be a stopgap or a guy that can be in that position beyond just this one season can open up so many paths for us to improve in other positions. And I feel like after this season's over, we gotta go get us a left tackle. Like if Humphries does not work, then we're back at square one. Like we're back in the market of looking for a — that's a high priced position.
But I guess
we don't have any answers at right now.
This is where I disagree with you at. And you would know this far better than me. You played in the NFL. To me, Humphries not being ready after not having OTAs, not having mini camp, not having preseason, not playing until Black Friday, I'm not looking at it, well, if he doesn't go out and perform, well, you didn't play enough during the season. How about next year we bring you back on a one-year deal and we have you go through the normal football things? You played the game. I think this big thing with me, at least with him, is just timing. I don't know how you get your timing to play left tackle in the NFL if you just haven't been playing. And that just seems like a position that you can't really simulate. I don't know how you get him ready and get him up to speed for what the playoffs are going to be if he played 92 snaps this season.
I mean, it's air and opportunity. That's what he has. The opportunity is going to arise on Saturday. If he's healthy, you play him. Because you start there don't mean there's no limitation. Like, you don't have to play him for the first quarter because he starts there. You don't have to play him for the first half. Like, that's we're going to start there. And if anything looking like it's not right, we all know.
Left tackle like his wide receiver, like his running back.
We all know what the plan B is. So, like, the plan B is solid.
It's a great plan.
It's a great plan. Why start with plan B? Let's just...
Can we be honest? Maybe you won't be honest here. I feel like we're only having this opinion because they're playing Houston in the first round. Where
I don't have
this week, if they were playing Buffalo or Baltimore, we wouldn't be willing to experiment and see how things go. This is a disrespect to Houston. Hey, well, you know what? We got one more practice game before the playoffs really start.
I mean, I can't 100% say that that's not like some feeling I have.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
I'm not saying that. I mean, I got to be honest with myself against the opponent. Everybody has a chance. Everybody has an opportunity. I do not believe the Houston Texans offense is an offense that I think they say 11 out of 12 weeks in a row, they've had two or less touchdowns scored by the offense. Mm. That does not seem to be explosive, especially like that's including the wide receivers that are now hurt. So like that, you can't tell me they got worse skill players and somehow they're going to score more. And I do believe our offense has shown over the last month of evolving into being a more potent offense.
They've got more guys now. They got more firepower.
Yeah. So I am willing to like start out the Humphreys Tooney combo and see how it goes, because yes, I do think that we are the skill level between the two teams is not as close as the Chiefs versus Ravens or the Chiefs versus Bills. So yes, you can use whatever word you. I'm not saying it's a preseason game. I'm not saying it's a warm-up game. It's playoff football. It's win or go home. But I don't know
it's
if
a
the first quarter.
Tune-up.
I don't lose a game in the first quarter. I don't lose a game in the first half. We know this about football. It's
especially with Patrick Mahomes,
adjustments of after halftime and how you finish ball games determines who wins and goes on. So I would love to see as many snaps possible by Humphreys to see, I mean, really what he is when he's healthy.
Right now we got Sean Barber in studio. When did you notice a shift with the defense? Because there was a stretch there for about 4 weeks. The defense was not playing very well.
A Minshew?
That's what I think too.
Yeah. It's.
I think there's like two different kinds of defenses. There was like without a Minshew, and then when they got a Minshew, it just opened things up for everybody. It opened, like, George Karloftis has been a noticeably better player. I think that it has freed Chris Jones up to be more of a pass-rushing defensive tackle, and I also think that Mike Dana's been better the last month now with Charles Minshew back.
Yeah, I mean, again, man, he adds an energy, a spark. He adds something to the room. And that's what team sports is. Like when you add a guy to the room, he brings something – it adds a little bit of something to everybody, like the packages, the everything they're doing differently from stunts and games and everything. There's a difference when Minshew's out there and he's not. But also the coverage, you know, beginning of the season, we had Watson out there. He gets injured, so everybody has to kind of shift a little bit. Connors, Shamari is, you know, his play has kind of, you know, been having to play some different stuff when Watson went out. So him getting used to that new role and stuff. So, you know, the possibility of getting Watson back and letting everybody kind of fall back to their natural positions opens up so much when it comes to the variation of disguises and where you can bring pressures from Coach Spags' defense. And then from just the front seven, when you talk about that D-line, they take pride in resetting that line of scrimmage. And they want to, I mean, dump offensive players in the lap of the quarterback, puncture the pocket, immediate pressure through all gaps, overload blitzes, disguises, you know, some bluffs and then some fakes. Everything is open. The complete playbook when it comes to postseason, there is no section we're working on anymore. That's during the season, right? You got, you know, let's say 100 different defenses. You got 18 weeks. So we're working on 5 to 6 different things each week, some variations, some adjustments. And then when you get to the end of the season, it's time to go to the playoffs. Hey, guys, the hot sheet is the entire it's the entire season. It's everything is hot. Everything is we can do it all. How many good defenses, how many great defenses, that differentiates the good from the great is do you have a coordinator that has trust? Do you have players out there on the field that can communicate and get it done without blowing the coverage? I think that what we've seen from the Chiefs, if we go back to the last 2 years of playoff football, whatever they're doing defensively is damn good. It's getting done at a really high level. And then when it comes to the playoffs, on the offensive standpoint, historically they've drawn up some schemes that it seems like the other team just wasn't prepared for. When you talk about Tom and Jerry and some of those other plays, it seemed to catch other defenses like kind of, you know, with the pants down kind of thing. For some reason, our team, our defense hasn't been caught like that. So from a game preparation, from a ready sheet, all the things that you go into the postseason and you got to be, I mean, kind of on your game, giving Andy Reid a free week to just draw up stuff. And
really 2 weeks. I mean, they didn't do any preparation for the Broncos. I mean, they didn't do anything.
I mean,
they just showed up at the game.
And only reason I believe that is because they already played them twice. And so they probably prepared for them enough for the regular season where they exhausted all the nooks and crannies and all the different kind of schematic things. So now it was just let's see if they win and we can brush up what we already have put together for those 2 weeks versus thinking about, all right, the other chances is the Houston comes in town. We've played them recently. So we had a ready sheet that was ready for them. We make some adjustments. But everything is up. Everything is alive. All the readies, all the hot calls, the checks. And that's what gets you, to me, that's what gets you excited about playoff football is when you have a quarterback and an offensive coordinator to speak the same language and they have the ability to really, on the fly, fabricate an entire scheme to beat whatever you do defensively. They don't need to come to the sideline and pull out the iPads and the surfaces and watch and look at it and think about, no, they can, within plays, between two plays, they can totally adjust and change. And Patrick can be one-on-one with a guy and say, hey, man, I just need you to shorten up that route. Give him another step in that nod and just take off. I'm gonna put it out there for you. So we can make adjustments on the fly. And I just don't think there's many teams in the NFL that can do that.
Coming up on the other side, I want to tell you the player that I think is going to benefit the most by the additional rest. I also want to get your thoughts on the age-old debate of rest versus rust. We got Sean Barber in studio breaking down the divisional round of the playoffs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Sean Barber in studio joining us here. Really happy to catch up with Sean Barber. Barbershop, I'll ask you this question first.
Let's go.
The age-old debate, rest versus rust. The Chiefs have had a lot of time off. The Chiefs have basically had Christmas Day until January 18th off. Do you think that matters? Is that going to play a factor? Because if I'll play devil's advocate here, we know that the Chiefs, they love to get down in the first 20 minutes of a game. There's nothing they love more than to be down 14-3, and now they need Patrick Mahomes to pull you out of the fire. That's my one worry about this game and what could keep this game close and have the Chiefs in jeopardy late. They start off a little bit slow. The timing is off. Houston forces a turnover early. Next thing you know, the Chiefs are playing from behind the eight ball for the final 40 minutes of the game.
If you told me the Chiefs were, you know, a few players nursing some injuries, and if somehow the rosters were a little bit more balanced, right? We're missing a few receivers. They're missing a few receivers. We got some guys beat up. They got some guys beat up. You know, we're on our third safety. They're on their third. Like, if you told me those things even themselves out, and then you said, all right, and we're rusty, then I think it matters. The rest is so important. Because you have a veteran team that knows how to practice, know how to prepare, know how to win. When I talk about rust, I look at it internally as I was a linebacker, and in week 4 of a season, I got hurt. And so I had to have surgery and come back the next year. And in the next training camp, which was 9 months later, yes, I was rusty. But that's 9 months, not 24 days. Like, unfortunately, I don't think 24 days is enough time to get rusty. I think what happens is, and if I was a coach, I would be yelling at my players on a daily basis, get your pads down. You got to play with the right leverage. Get your pads down. We need lower, like just overemphasizing that even though we're not out here banging, I need you to understand you have to play this game with a certain amount of pad level and leverage, or it doesn't matter who's the better player. The low man wins in football when it comes to two forces meeting each other. And so I think that's the important part that you don't want to, like, forget, is you don't want anybody starting to play too high, because also that's when the injury bug hits. You get soft tissue injuries. You get things that, you know, don't happen usually when you start playing a little bit too high. You get knees hitting you in the calves and in the thighs and stuff like that. So I'll tell my guys, just start the game playing aggressive, play low, come to balance, like all the things that just until we get out of the first quarter. And once we get out of the first quarter, you build up a sweat and you lather it up. You're ready to go. It's time to, like, all right, it's time to take the governor off and let's get it. Like pin your ears back. Let's go hunt. But for the first 15 minutes of the game, I kind of would play it a little closer to my vest. I would be playing I would be doing some basic stuff. I wouldn't be too exotic, and you know, I'm not doing flea flickers to start the game and all that kind of stuff. I'm just moving the ball, getting the ball in people's hands, letting them touch it, let the quarterback get in his flow. And if I'm the Texans, I'm doing the opposite. I'm blitzing. I'm doing anything I can to prevent the Chiefs from ever getting in a comfortable mode. I don't want them to get lathered up and get their I want them to feel like we're speeding up the clock. I want the receivers coming out of breaks wondering where the ball's at. Why is the ball late? I'm adjusting. I'm being sticky on the receivers. I'm playing a lot of man. That's the game plan I would have going into the game. And if I lose 50 to whatever, then so be it. But you can't let Patrick Mahomes get surgical. You can't let him get in a rhythm, especially with all his weapons.
So I made a list a couple of days ago of the players who I think benefit most from having this extended time off, and I put Isaiah Pacheco at number one.
Mm.
I'm not really sure if Pacheco has been healthy for the last 3 months, ever since the broken leg. You played two games, you broke your leg, you came back, you haven't had the same burst, haven't had the same explosiveness, and now you get 25 days to kind of rest up and heal up. And I think now we can say that Pacheco maybe came back a little bit too early with the injury, that he probably needed a little bit more time. I think this could be the first time since week two that we see a fully healthy and ready Isaiah Pacheco. I had him number one on my list.
Well, I don't have a list of guys who I think benefited the most, but I would say between there's a handful of guys I would believe that's on that list. Kelce, Pacheco, Hollywood Brown, Aminahue. I would think that those are the guys we're referring to. But yeah, of those group of guys, I would say Pacheco is one of the top guys. I don't think that they should have held him out any longer. I think once you're ready to go, you got to get it back on the field. Like once you're medically healthy, extra rest is not going to get you prepared to go play football.
He just doesn't have the same burst that he had before.
Do you know where you get that from? Playing football. It's like you know, guys that cut wood, you build up those calluses, right? You can't do the job that you can usually do unless you, I mean, you gotta tear some skin a little bit. You gotta create some grind and some grit. You gotta tear up the muscles a little bit and get some of that soreness out. You gotta do some stuff when you're building, you know, kind of building for greatness. And as a running back, unfortunately, you can't go out here against air and think that you're gonna get better. I mean, you got to get hit. You got to get a little bit sore, and then you got to recover. You got to get sore and recover, and then you get to a point where your mind starts to block out the soreness, and now you go out there and you're just running. You're back to the old Pacheco, and I don't think holding him out when he's healthy. Again, it's a medical determination. Once you're healthy, you just go, and they can reduce your snaps and limit that kind of stuff until you build up. But I think that the earlier we got him out there, then we're gonna reap the rewards in the postseason by him and Hollywood Brown getting back out there on the field as soon as possible.
I think Hollywood has been great. I think Hollywood, if you hadn't been watching the Chiefs all season, and let's say the first time that you watched him was Christmas, you would never know that Hollywood just joined the team 2 weeks ago.
Because he was there all, like, again, that's the importance of training camp. You build up some knowledge about the game that you can carry on. I also think as good as we saw the version of Hollywood Brown, even though it was late in the season for a few weeks, I think the peak, the ceiling for what we can do with D-Hop is also, I don't even think we've even close to see what true D-Hop postseason looks like. All the game, I don't think we've even come close to tapping that resource. And I think each week he gains so much knowledge about the game, just in the preparation, just hearing us game plan and putting in plays and what Patrick is seeing, how he's seeing things, allows him as a receiver just to, I mean, it's going to be magnificent, man. That's the exciting part for me. Barring who's on the other side of the sideline, I'm not worried about whether it's the Texans, the Bills, the Ravens. If the Chiefs go out there and take care of their business and actually on the offensive side, go up and down the field like I know they can go up and down, I don't understand. I don't see how a defense unless we, you know, take the foot off the gas, can keep us from 25 points a half. Yep, 50. Yeah, 25 if needed.
That's the Barber I know and love. You got him hanging 50 on Houston?
I mean,
I just watched the Chiefs. I know how they act sometimes. They'll just have like a 13-minute stretch there where you're just like, what are the Chiefs doing right now? What's happening? They love that little 13-minute stretch. They love to make the game just a lot closer and more intriguing than it needs to be.
I mean, it's postseason.
They do that in the regular season. They do that like a week 7 game. They love to just make a week 7 game stressful for no reason. Why is this stressful? You're playing Carolina. Take care of business.
Again, they got things they're working on, and it's not about scoring the most points you can every game. It's a technique, or it's a play set. It's a series. It's getting everybody on the same page when it comes to a certain schematic thing they're working on the offense. And sometimes that you don't get the first down, you got to get off the field. But we were able to work on what we needed to work on, which down the road is going to help us put together some really good drives. During the regular season, while everybody else is trying to accumulate wins, the Chiefs are pursuing like a vision of greatness. I don't think they knew it at the time, but Hollywood Brown getting hurt, Rashee Rice getting hurt, Pacheco getting hurt, it kind of forced their hand. Juju came back, Miko came back, addition of D-Hop, Hunt comes back. And now you take those, and now, you know, some of those assets that went away, the Pachecos and Hollywood Browns get healthy again. So now you're left with something special that we haven't seen here in Kansas City in a long time. I mean, you're left with some.
I think this is the most weapons they've had since they traded Tyreek.
Oh my goodness! Like, I can't even think of a time. You tell me when the roster has been more stacked than we are. The deck has. Tell me which roster has been more stacked than the deck right now.
Let me think about that. I mean, I'm going to guess it was probably the first team. You had Kelce at a high level, Tyreek Hill at a high level.
Sammy Watkins.
You had a capable run game. Their defense was good enough. It wasn't as good as it was now.
Capable run game. What is that? Help me.
David Williams was good. David Williams was fine. David Williams was about what Kareem Hunt is right now in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And he could catch the ball out of the backfield. I thought they had a lot. That 2019 offense was loaded too.
We ain't seen Kareem since.
You want to talk about a team that could hang 50 on you? That team could hang 50 on you. This team, I don't think, is hanging 50 on anybody. Coming up on the other side, the Chiefs are not the only playoff game this weekend. I want to get your thoughts on Bills and Ravens. And you played for the Commanders and the Eagles. We got to get your thoughts on those teams as well. Keep it right here. We'll do it on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We got Sean Barber here getting you ready for the divisional round of the postseason. We have been breaking down Chiefs and Texans. Barbershop is doing some kind of dance that is not the dance for the song that's playing right now, but you know what? I'm going to let that slide.
What song was that?
That was Swag Surf. And I don't know what you were doing. You were not swagging or surfing.
You know what? You're being real judgmental
right
now. It's
okay. You know what?
I thought the whole thing about Swag Surf is that it's a personal. It's like whatever you feel. Like
no,
you just,
there's a whole dance.
For real?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, like you can't do whatever dance you want during the Macarena. They tell you there's a dance. You can't do whatever you want during Cupid Shuffle, the Cha-Cha Slide. Swag Surf has its. You can't do another dance, man, for Teach Me How to Dougie. You got a Dougie.
For real? I mean, I know about those old things, but Swag Surf, I thought it was like, man, like you feel it. Like that's the whole thing. Like the energy in that song. Come on, man. Like, come on.
My bad.
When I saw the Chiefs on the sideline swagging and surfing, they weren't all doing the same thing. Whoa. It was just.
I'm guessing it was two Americas over there. That's what I'm guessing. See? I'm guessing that. I'm guessing Jamie Winchester.
No. Taylor Swift swag surfed. It crossed over.
Two Americas. See what I mean? She wasn't doing it correctly. She wasn't doing the right dance.
Come on,
that's
man.
The point I'm trying to make to you. Golly. That song's not nearly as good as this one.
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we?
Do your Commanders have any chance this weekend?
First of all, I never played for the Commanders.
You played for Washington. Does Washington have a chance?
The Washington team that I played for was called the Redskins, be it politically incorrect or not. I played for the Redskins. So they're not playing this weekend. The Commanders are representing.
Yeah, shout out to the Commanders and the football team. I actually wish they had kept the football team. I did like the football team.
I mean, why are people always forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do? Right? You want to force them to change the logo, force them to change the name.
I think it was time. It was time. It was definitely time to change it from the old name.
Well, now if you listen to it, they're trying to go back. They're trying to like.
I don't know if they're going back. I think some people might want them to go back. I don't think you're going back to that name anymore. I think it's done. I think it's over.
Well, when it ends up going back, we're gonna note this, put a pin in it, and we'll come back and revisit it. I talked to Billy Butler. Like, all right, so let me.
Here you go, dropping plenty. You got to pick that name up. You just dropped.
The Royals designated hitter, Billy Butler?
Yeah, you picked that name up you just dropped.
What are you and Billy Butler talking about?
So we're in the fantasy football league. And so after the season, I ended up coming in second place.
Lost to Billy?
No, Billy came in not second place. He's a big Commanders fan. So he had Jalen Daniels, Ertz, he had Bo Robinson.
Okay, he had a decent season then. He should have.
I mean, he should have, but like you got to have other players.
Well, that's
all right. And so when you overdraft the Redskins, the Commanders team, to make sure you get all the Commanders, then the rest of your team ends up being a bunch of backups. So, yes, like he could have got that same team and had some studs in the first four rounds and still got those Commander players, but it's Billy Butler, and he's Commander. He has pride. I didn't want to mention it, Commanders, but I know at a point you used to be Charger Dot. I think after the last – Charger game, you've given up on. I think that you realize Herbert is not Herbert.
Why do you have to take this moment to disrespect me and call me a name that I've told you I don't want to be called?
We buried that name.
I don't ever want to be called that name.
Over
again.
Cigars, I think we looked at each other and said, there's no more Charger Dart. Like, it can't be. That was despicable what we saw them do in that game.
I don't even want to talk about them on this show anymore.
All right. So now we got the Commanders. Now you can fully just put all your support, all your energy behind the Commanders. I do think they have a chance. And the only reason I think they have a chance, even though the Lions have been, you know, the best team in the NFC this year, their defense is almost as beat up as the Texans' offense is. I mean, they're missing a lot of guys. Aaron Glenn has been doing a phenomenal job of next man up and finding ways to generate pressure. But he's facing a guy on the other side, Cliff Kingsbury, that might be a master at taking advantage of whatever your weakness is. Multiple times you're going to see the Commanders after a play line up at the ball. They're not in a rush. It's not a hurry up offense. They just don't want you to substitute. They want to keep those guys on the field because they understand defensively, you usually have certain personnel that do certain things a lot better. And so when they got you in the personnel where they can take advantage of you in a passing game, they're not going to let you sub. He is... At this point, one of the only teams that have, like, really taken advantage of that. And he's developed a playbook and his play system that they're allowed to get into two or three different plays from the line of scrimmage based off what he sees the defense lining up at. And they're not putting all of that on Jalen Daniels. It's not a, hey, quarterback, at the line, I want you to be able to decipher X, Y, and Z. I mean, it's almost like a college offense where everybody's looking over to the side to figure out, I mean, are we in A series, B series, C series? Are we going with the numbers? Or are we going with the colors? So they can go into almost five or six different plays based off of what he's seeing as a coordinator from the line of scrimmage to being a successful play. How smart is that? I mean, he kind of took me on, but how smart is that as a coordinator?
You know what? That is rust. You haven't done it in a while. See what I mean? Your timing was a little bit off there. You heard the music at the end. You didn't know what to do. You got the Bills or the Ravens?
Ravens, run game. You can't stop Henry out the left, Lamar coming out the right, passing game to Andrews and Likely. Nah, you can't. That's four weapons. I don't know how the defense stops that. You got to outscore them. 43-40.
You don't think there's a lot of defense being played this weekend in the NFL playoffs, do you?
Mark my word. take that over.
Barbershop, man, I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot for coming in today, man.
Well, I got to, you know, I got to extend the hours.
I know you got to work. It's playoffs. You got to put in a little extra time. You like DJ Humphries. That's what you like.
We're going to players only straight from here, Brady. Come on, man.
Keep it right here. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. We got a busy show tomorrow.